He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the dust survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think it's a fake.
You think it's fake?
What? Is that fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Oh my God, oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, pardon me being a little, a few seconds behind the intro there. I just noticed something coming out of my hair, and I was like, what is this on the top of my hair? I got little gray hairs, and I immediately went for the scissors, and I just cut them out just now. It might have something to do with my turning 30 as of 2 weeks ago, turning 30 years old. How are you all doing? Today is Friday, April 12th, 2013. I almost came out and said 2009. I don't know why I was thinking I would say 2009 when it's not. It's 2013. We got DDP in the chat room. I know a bunch of other people are going to be in the chat room. This is going to be great. We're going to have a host of people listening, and the millions of them will not even be able to be in the chat room. Unless, you know, I don't know, maybe Blog Talk Radio should create, you know, some type of app on their phone where they could listen to us live right here. Not just me, everybody from Blog Talk Radio. I was listening to a comedy relief show this morning, and I needed some much comedy relief, and that was funny this morning. It was awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get right into this. I tell you, I cannot ever remember preparing for a show that had as much controversy and as much media attention and spur-of-the-moment stuff that just doesn't happen. You just don't get it in here at all. This show is just out there. And it's all about the main perception. You watch a sports segment or you hear something on TV and you go, well, gee, that sucks, what just happened to that player. Or it sucks that this team just lost and that was their only chance at surviving. And that's what leads into our main subject today, ladies and gentlemen. It's the fact that we have all these, here it is, here's the subject line, all these ups and downs in the world of sports. You can't tell me that's not true, because it's very true. Every day, or at least every other day, but then again, they could be every day, because I'm sure that there's sports that take place that are not shown on TV. That could very well be taking place when we're all asleep. And DDP's not asleep. He is in the chat room with us. Like I said earlier, expecting lots more people to show up here later on. It's going to be great. Plus, will AJ join us again and finish his rant from last week? I know we went into overtime last week, so if you want to hear that again, go back, you know, and simply listen to the archives later on or over the weekend if you can. Check that out. I got to say what's up to my members from my boys and girls, well, everybody in particular. If you're a member of the group, then this pertains to you. Big shout out to the group. Thank you all for the birthday wishes. Man, I tell you, being 30 years old, I think it's going to have a bright future now, especially with today's show. And also, there's a lot of things. I'm telling you, we're going to cover a lot of shit today. This is going to be crazy. The WrestleMania statement, it's a stalemate from everyone. Wrestling, as of late, is actually making headlines. You'll hear more about that later on. But as I said, let's get right into this. You know, just moments before we went live, Yahoo Sports released this, that Ohio State gets a trophy for something that you normally should not get a trophy for or wouldn't even be recognized for. Nobody has celebrated a division championship in college football quite like this. That's because Ohio State won the leaders division in the Big Ten last year with a 12-0 record. They went 12-0. They were undefeated. But as we all know, they couldn't play for the conference title or a bowl game because of the NCAA sanctions that they made. Still, as Cleveland.com points out, Ohio State coach Urban Meyer promised them rings for an undefeated season. And so the Buckeyes got their rings. Coach Urban, you're great for keeping your word. Now that's what a coach is supposed to do. Keeping your word to your players. Just as I keep my word here to all you great fans of the show. A couple of coaches, including receivers Coach Zach Smith, tweeted out a picture of the ring along with the traditional gold pants for beating Michigan. Anybody who wishes to criticize Ohio State for celebrating its NCAA-sanctioned shortened 12-0 season a little too much, this is probably a good of time as any. And that was just released by Yahoo Sports moments ago. Moments ago, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God. I can't even talk. I tell you. Also, ladies and gentlemen, also today on the show, before we get off the air, one of the world's most entertaining and most provocative and kind of like me, thought-provoking and very, very opinionated, wrestler has now created his own podcast show, and you're going to find out who that is. I've got that audio clip saved for the show later on. And speaking of saving for the moment, hey, check this out. Matthew Broderick is in the chat room. No, not the actor, not the famous person that we all know from movies. My good friend in Chicago, in the Windy City, he happens to have the same name as the actor. But Matt Broderick, I told him on social media that I was going to tell the world, and I'm telling the world right now, Matt's got almost a full house. He got Anthony, he got his friend Anthony, he got a whole bunch of other people at his house listening to the show live right now. Matt, did you ever get those? Are you ordering pizza and pizza on the way? Because you guys all got to get ready for the next 2 hours, baby. He's like, oh yeah, maybe I'll have to get some party favorites. I go, yeah, you got to get some chips and dip too. I got some sour cream and onion dip. Sour cream and onion chips. I have some ranch dip here. I've got some homemade pizza in the microwave. The microwave just went off, but I'll worry about that when we go to commercial break. But yeah, so much going on here today. So much on the show. First, I know we normally do football first. And you just heard me do a little bit of college football about Ohio State getting their rings from last year that the coach promised them. But I feel strongly, very strongly, that we need to go into baseball. Baseball first and then football. Is that okay, everybody? That's okay, yeah. Because and it's all a result of last night. Last night, had the most interesting lineup. I mean, hey, because of everything that took place last night, my Giants were playing the Chicago Cubs. You were right, Matt. You were right. Fortunately, I'm not too happy about the result, but the Cubs did very well. I didn't think they would do as well as they did. And they're also playing right now. Right now. Yahoo Sports is reporting that they just ended the sixth inning. They're about to head into the seventh inning. And just like last night, once again, the Cubs are leading the Giants right now. 2-0. Go ahead. All you people at Matt Broderick's house, and you too, Matt, all of you in Chicago, go ahead, laugh. Laugh now, because you won't be laughing later. Well, I hope not. Hope my Giants can keep the thing going. Keep it up. We need another championship. Gotta defend our World Series championship. But the other baseball game that was going on last night, too, and I know everybody, man, so many baseball games were on last night. Everybody here in my area, because we're next to Oakland and all that. Oakland A's, Oakland Athletics were also playing last night. But no game had the more conservative and ultra-violent twice in the same game. And it's a brawl that should never, ever have happened. The Dodgers-Padres brawl has left Zach Gerken with a broken collarbone and a baseball with bad feud. There's bad blood all over this. Because he not only threw the ball in the second inning, he threw it again late in the fifth inning. And the second time, it was just too much for Zach Gerken. He just charged the mound and twice in the same game, for the second time in one night, both benches were cleared again. And I was like, damn, again. But the serious side is that, well, as I told Matt Broderick and others, this whole thing has now seriously gotten the baseball's, Major League Baseball's attention. Everyone from both teams could be suspended. And you're probably saying, well, that doesn't include, the hot shots, the big guys. Actually, you couldn't be more wrong. Because, I know that, the media or YouTube, they really won't show the whole thing. Unless you're like some of my other friends. DDP, you have DVR, right? Yeah, I think DDP has DVR. Where you DVR the whole damn game, and you can watch the whole damn thing. That took half of 5 minutes, 10 minutes at the most. And the reason why I say you couldn't be more wrong is because right before the brawl was coming to a close, the pitching coach, some of the coaches were even involved in this, hitting other coaches. That's why I said it could possibly affect the, whatever you want to call it, of both teams. Both teams are in the possibility of being suspended and not even being considered to play the rest of the season. But it's like every time that the Padres and Dodgers meet, this always happens. But that's the beauty of baseball. That is such a beauty, but we'll worry about baseball, and I'll keep you all up to date on this. If anything else develops, maybe throughout the show, maybe next week, who knows? The other thing that's getting real important, and it's coming close. We're coming close, ladies and gentlemen, closer and closer. This week and next week, the NFL is going to be doing a mock draft in preparation for week 3 from now. 3 weeks from now, we will be all headed into the NFL draft. Ooh, I can't wait. But, well, maybe I can wait. because I'm sure that DDP is very, very confident in who the Texans are going to pick, because that's where he lives. He lives in Texas. He's a big Houston Texans fan. I know Matt Broderick and everybody, all you guys over there in Chicago, are all set to find out what guys, what newbies that your Chicago Bears are going to get. I'd like to get, welcome guest 462 into the chat room. And wherever you are, it's good for you, because you want to know who the next entity, who the next big thing could be in the NFL. I mean, they're looking at all these great, great rookies from different colleges and stuff like that to see who will take it to the extreme. I know, I just did some Paul Heyman lines and some WWE lines. Hey, like I always say, and it's true, those were not in my notes right here. I didn't even write that down to say that. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be crazy. It already has gotten crazy. I'm telling you, there's so much to report here. Good grief. So much sports news to guest into. And Matt Broderick saying, yeah, this is extreme. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I mean, but everybody else is very, very happy with their teams, and you guys all pretty much know who you're getting on your team. Now, I'm going to be very, very public about this. I normally am not. I don't bring this publicly, but I'm going to say it. I don't know what the blue hell, what in the blue hell are my Raiders thinking? All these other teams are gaining new players. All these other teams are gaining road agents, you know, to be, you know, leaders and stuff like that. My Raiders are getting rid of everybody. What are we doing? This is why. I mean, sure, Al Davis was a crummy owner, but his son doesn't know what he's doing. I can't understand what this is. Okay, that's enough of that. Because nobody really that listens on the show and from California is not going to understand how I feel. So we'll just move right along. We will move right along. But yeah, you know, expect the unexpected, I should say, from the NFL draft. I mean, the Patriots have just re-signed wide receiver Julian Edelman. But the Patriots also have a problem with Alex Dennard, who will get 2 years of probation. Not really sure what that's about. And, you know, hey, everybody is getting brand new, much larger contracted deals that they can keep up with, and it's almost like, how is the NFL expected to pay everyone and do all these things? It doesn't make sense, but hey, everybody's, you know, just trying to figure out where these big, big, much larger payments and new contracts. I mean, you heard me mention it 2 weeks ago that several NFL players have now negotiated their contracts for as high as $9.5 million. I mean, I know people say, well, hey, $9 or $10 or even $11, $12 an hour on a normal Joe Schmo job, and you make a lot of damn good money. But these guys are actually making real money. They're making this money. Matt Hasselbeck, he's been taking his time all this week. I'm sure you guys have followed along with the story that he still is considering, honestly, jumping to the Colts. Andrew Luck might leave the team that he helped lead last year. Some people are also even saying on social media, well, I don't think I need to watch the NFL draft this year. The NFL draft is overrated. Well, I told him that that might sound, that's your opinion, and it's just the way people feel. But, you know, I can't say anything about that. It's a free country. Everyone is certainly entitled to their own opinions. Yeah, Matt, I know. Everybody's worried about Denver. They're getting really stacked. You're right. They're out there. They're just doing big impact things, not only for the team, but for their fans. They're really, really getting behind their fans. I think this is all in preparation. That way they can be motivated when the NFL season starts again. And you know what? I hate to admit it, but these Denver fans, it seems like it's working. They are so hyped up for this. Maybe if every NFL team would do this, there wouldn't be any real ups and downs, and I said that's our subject today, in the world of the NFL. Now, I know that the NFL, they do all these sorts of things. They do the Make-A-Wish Foundations. They do, you know, appearances for other different types of organizations. They help out the United Way to work with kids and stuff like that. But if they actually got the fans involved, like Denver has been doing, driving up and down the streets, shaking hands with the fans, and asking them, are you ready? Are you ready for football? Are you ready for the Denver Broncos football? And people are just getting behind it. And it's working. I think that's what needs to happen. Sure, you can still make your little, you know, media agendas and help out these organizations that you've seen all them do on with these commercials. I mean, geez, man. And I know this would help everybody. Every sport should be doing this. I know that Matt Broderick was very, very happy, and I'm sure I can speak for everybody. Why am I speaking on the topic of Chicago today? I don't know. This must be the Chicago air that I'm feeling that's vibrating from Chicago all the way here to where I am in California. Thank you guys in Chicago. Thank you very much. But I was a big fan of the Chicago Bulls anyways. I know Matt Broderick and you guys are very, very excited about what the Bulls did last night. Dang. Matt, we're going to have a Hell in a Cell match about that. Bears are not going all the way. Man, I tell you, I used to be a big fan of the Bulls. I would always make sure I'd watch every single Michael Jordan game. And I got to. Those were the days. Now as adults, see, if adulthood didn't exist, then I wouldn't be talking to you about memories and stuff. But hey, you know, sometimes you can't watch a certain product or a certain thing. You have to be told about it. Oh, well, this and this happened, and they won. You're like, I wanted to be here to watch it. I didn't want to be here to be told about it. Well, Matt, that's only going to work if you have a PS3. Everybody can play along with me on PS3 for any game that you have. I tell you, that would be awesome. I'd put everybody in a Hell in a Cell match. Me, you, DDP, maybe even guess 462, who knows? wow, this is getting interesting now. Very interesting. Speaking of that, we might even be able to talk about that. Yeah, that could probably be our next subject. Yeah, the video game industry for WWE, that is. Don't add TNA to that because, oh, well, they're not really going to be making any more video games ever again. Thank God. But hey. I tell you, this just keeps getting better and better. It's going to get better and better. Oh, man. This is how it is, right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Yeah, we'll follow along, and then we've got some huge, huge, big-time wrestling news to cover. I mean, geez. You got things happening with Steve Corino. I don't know if anybody heard about that, but hey, stick around and you'll hear about it. I've got to run to my microwave and get my homemade pizza out.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even,
oh my God,
the leader of Team Gooch himself, McDirty Seth. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time, and of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
Hi, folks. I'm Roger Noriega from NDB Media. Just want to give you a taste of our schedule. All times are Pacific. Sunday at 2:30 p.m. ADD Tangent. Rave at 6. DJ and Eli in the evening at 8. This week on NDB Media at 9. On Monday, 6:30 a.m., Fantasy Extra. Then at 4 p.m., Deep Space Jeff. 8 p.m., Sports Talk with the Guys, Weekend Edition. On Tuesday, 6 p.m., The Five Tool Show. At 7, Tuesday Night America. At 8, Fandom Access. On Wednesday at 9 a.m., Bertone Beatles Bonanza. At 4, A Gal for All Seasons. 5, Tri-State Sports Guys. On the first Wednesday, Comics 101. On the last Wednesday, Eclectic Offerings. On Thursday at 4 p.m., twice a week, Classic Trek with Sam and Dave. 5 p.m., Travelish Radio. At 7 p.m., Edge of Reality. Friday, 6:30 a.m., Fantasy Extra. 1 p.m., Sports Opinion Show with Matt Alvarez. Raise Your Glass is on at 5. Your Mental Health Radio is on at 6. On Saturday, Sports Talk with the Guys Extravaganza. And then Runaway Mind on the third Saturday. Lots of stuff going on. NDBmedia.net, twitter.com/NDBmedia.
Children, they're too fast to feed. You're on medication, taking pills to sleep. I think I'm doing just fine compared to what you've been doing. I won't get vaccinated, sure it's got too much. You think you're so persuasive, but I'm not giving up. Saving my life, it's not what you're doing. I won't justify. You're just wasting your time trying to throw me.
notice that you are turning you on, maybe. Yeah, I'm wrong, but I like where I'm going. I leave another stay, I never redecide. I don't mind if you wait, but I don't waste my time. Crazy, it's just fine, cause I like where I'm going.
Back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Everybody's here. Everybody's listening live. Thank you all very much. Ladies and gentlemen, it's so good to actually be involved with this and be here with you guys. I honestly mean that. Except for coffee. Coffee, better cut that out. I told you. Everybody knows I am not an A's fan. I am a Giants fan. That's my baseball team. Okay, I know coffee likes to play around and think that the shit is funny, but it's not funny. You know better than that, coffee. I'll just have to deal with you one of these days, maybe in person. Hey, you know what? We're having a bad time trying to beat the Cubs right now. That's all that is, coffee. All right. Thank you for sharing. On to the next subject. Oh, boy. We got to get back into this. Coffee is distracting me over here. I'm not happy about that. But all of you might be happy about this as we turn our attention now to some entertaining wrestling news that you might not be aware of. Sinclair Broadcasting has announced that they are entering into a new definite merger agreement that will see the company acquire Fisher Communications in a merger transaction. The deal will see Sinclair acquire 20 news stations in 8 markets as well as 3 radio stations in Seattle. ROH, aka Ring of Honor, could end up on all of the stations. Of course, the deal is subject to FCC approval, antitrust clearance, and the affirmative vote of 2/3 of Fisher's outstanding shareholders. So if you're in the Seattle area, or maybe I don't care where you are, it might even come on in an area for you. Now, the reason why this is subject to FCC approval, because all the Ring of Honor content, including wrestling matches and, you know, everything in wrestling has to do with commentary. and promos and stuff like that, so they've got to watch. Now, I know that TV is trying to, you know, generally, day by day, cut down on the language, the swearing. You son of a bitch! Yeah, stuff like that. But this is the FCC. The FCC is, you know, broadcasted with radio stations. They are in charge of radio. So they're the ones who will make this final approval. But, you know, I think that this merger with that Sinclair, because Sinclair is, they own ROH. They're the ones broadcasting them out on TV and YouTube. And now they want to dealing with this merger with Fisher Communications. But Fisher and Sinclair have to wait for the FCC to actually approve it. So just, hey, keep your radio stations dialed in. You might be tuning in your radio station one day and all of a sudden you might hear yelling promos and stuff like that. What's this? Oh, it's ROH. Wow, I'm my radio station. Also, this past Wednesday on Wrestling Zone Wars Online, that's WZRonline.com, in an article that which featured interview highlights with independent and ROH pro wrestler Steve Corino. Among the highlights of this interview was an excerpt where Corino claimed that he felt the infamous Montreal Screwjob at WWE Survivor Series in 97, which we all remember, between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, he says he believes was a work. Well, much to the disagreement of, I think Vince McMahon and others would disagree with him. That, well, I'm sure Vince knew on his part. I'm sure Bret Hart almost had no clue that all that was going to happen. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone to WCW. I don't know. Bray Wyatt, the former Husky Harris, and Constance Ono, the former Chris Hero, and Adrian Neal, who played the former Pac, are the next WWE NXT stars being prepared to be called up to the main roster. So any one of these four cats you might see on Raw or SmackDown. In other words, they will be graduating from the NXT show, which is on YouTube, to either WWE or SmackDown. The word is that they are main roster ready. They're ready. They're privileged to go, and they could be called up to television anytime soon. So keep that ready and keep watching Raw and SmackDown. You never know. If they say it's hard, but it's not that hard. See? All they have to do is go recreate their characters, much like they did with Ryback. Remember, he had a different name, and he was a part of the Nexus group, and then they redefined his character. I mean, sure, they kind of screwed up the Tentai character because, well, we've already talked about that over weeks. Also, keep it right here, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if AJ's going to call in and finish his rant, his much excited rant from last week. That's why I haven't tapped over any of my computer tabs, my internet tabs here, because I'm always keeping an eye on this to see if he calls in. So, yeah. Coffee. Coffee said that, well, I wish I was in Seattle. He said it's one of the most elite cities in this country. Coffee. You're just... Coffee in some ways is kind of like me. Opinionated. Very opinionated. And yes, as I promised, ladies and gentlemen, also keep it right here. Because a well-known wrestler, like I said, had created his own podcast radio show, and you're going to hear a little excerpt on that a little later on here today throughout the show. More than likely, I'll be playing that audio clip for you all towards the end of the show. But, you know, we have to recover and start out with these results because of what happened during the WrestleMania 29 on Sunday night. things that they said were going to happen. See, now we're getting serious, and you know we're getting serious because you can hear me being pissed off in my voice. The shit that they told everybody they were going to do, they didn't fucking do. I'm going to say that again. They didn't fucking do it. You only had one damn pre-show match. The second match that I told you all about last week when they said, well, we want to have a second one. We change our minds. We either want a battle royal or a lumberjack match. We don't know for sure, but that's what we're going to do. That didn't happen either. I mean, at least it was, you know, slowly redundant that what should have been on the actual card, you know, the Wade Barrett Intercontinental Championship match, they should just do away with the pre-show on YouTube. It doesn't get people ready for the actual pay-per-view. It doesn't do anything, quite frankly. It's one or two matches, and then they stop recording that for you. That's all for the purposes of YouTube only. Because the pre-show is supposed to be from 4 to 5. You know, 1 hour. But it's only one or two matches. Then they just constantly run down the same thing that they run down. They remind you of what's coming up. There's no purpose for the pre-show. I'm sick of it. I'm sure all of you are sick of it too. I know Matt Broderick probably is. Or maybe anybody, all of you guys that are at Matt Broderick's house chilling out with his party. I don't know. Coffee? No, it's not. It's not Duke the Dumpster. Whoever the hell that is. I'm sure Guest 462 is like, I've never even heard of Duke the Dumpster either. I think nobody has coffee. What the hell is that? Good grief. Yeah, I know you guys all think this is funny. That I am laughing because it is funny, but at the same time, you think it's funny because you find it amusing that coffee is distracting me. No more. That's not going to happen the rest of the show. No more distractions. I guarantee it, more than that guy from the men's warehouse. And so, I mean, because, I mean, for most of the first hour anyways, after the Wade Barrett Intercontinental Championship match took place, then the only thing that they really talked about the whole time of the pre-show was, you know, the pointers and the pointer for Triple H and the pointer for Brock Lesnar, and how is Brock Lesnar going to defeat Triple H? And, well, that's basically what the pre-show was, to talk about Triple H versus Brock Lesnar. Then they went back to the pre-show host, you know. At least it was good to see good old JR there. I thought they were going to actually, I was like, hey, here comes JR. I was watching this on YouTube, and I go, all right, this pay-per-view is going to have some class tonight. No, he was only there for the damn pre-show. But it was interesting because people started chanting that they wanted Ryder. They were referring to Zack Ryder. I mean, geez. Matt Stryker, JR, and Dusty Rhodes. I was like, with the exception of JR, why is Matt Stryker and Dusty Rhodes doing the pre-show? Just let JR do it by himself. Hell, he can do it. He is the man. He's been there longer than any other announcer in the history of WWE. So we had The Miz versus Wade Barrett, finally. But The Miz became the new Intercontinental Champion. That chalks up to the experience of, you know, Fandango, a stupid character that they created. The Shield versus Sheamus versus Randy Orton and the Big Show. Here's the other thing they didn't do either. Everybody what they did was they swerved. They were trying to confuse people. And the only one that they confused me with was John Cena. What the hell with him anyway? Everybody knows I don't like him at all. I don't care for his kind of wrestling antics that take place. I care about everybody else, just not him. And it seemed like everybody, including Kofi Kingston, how they said, well, this person, and that person, oh, and that person too, we're going to turn him heel. We're going to make him a bad guy now. That's why I said, they didn't do that shit either. What the hell were they doing? The only one that seemed to have the more adequate heel turn at this pay-per-view was the Big Show. Because he had again knocked out Randy Orton and Sheamus, which is what resulted in what took place on Monday night, and how Orton and Sheamus both wanted the Big Show. We'll talk about that later, though. But your winners are The Shield. Mark Henry versus Ryback didn't last long. It soiled the pay-per-view. Mark Henry did win the match. The tag title match, Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston versus Kane and Daniel Bryan. This was kind of interesting, the way Big E Langston made his debut. I mean, Big E comes in with these big right hands and he's just pouncing on Kane, and I'm like, man. But, you know, it was interesting to see Big E take a DDT from Kane. So, anyways, then they tried to use the briefcase as a weapon, which AJ slid in, and she tried to distract the referee, but Ziggler missed grabbing the actual case. And he gets chokeslammed for his troubles, and Kane and Daniel Bryan are your winners. Then they went through, you know, crazy minutes of the whole replay, and the fans get to do a big yes chant, you know. Fandango versus Jericho, like I said, this is the other thing on the pay-per-view that they screwed up on. They wanted so much for people to believe that we're getting rid of the Fandango character. We really are. Yeah, cow dung is the word for it, coffee, I guess you could say. And how do you let Fandango, a new guy, go over a well-established guy like Jericho? The only reason that they put him on the card was so they could try and think of a way to get rid of the character. But then 10 minutes after his match, all the executives, you know, they immediately, because they were all there in person. They were there, and you know, I'm sure Vince McMahon was there in person too, and they probably went to his office and said, I think we should keep him. I enjoyed that match. Did you see that match? I know you're here in your office, Vince, but did you see that? Yeah, we'll keep Fandango. We'll keep him going. Are you kidding me? You couldn't think of an honest or legitimate or at least half-legitimate reason for why you're going to get rid of Fandango? Hell, I would have told the fans because legitimately, he really, really did. When Jericho took him on the outside and did the double cross body off the top, and Fandango kicked out at the two count, and then they took it outside, and then Jericho landed a different type of crossbody, which I've never seen before, but I don't know where Jericho got that from. Maybe he went back to watching Wrestling Japan tapes. That was crazy, the second one that he did, outside of the ring. And Fandango actually legitimately did hit his head on the rail, but he still kept the match going. That's probably why they kept him. Look at that, he's still fighting. He doesn't need medical attention. I hope that's not the reason why, but hey, you could have said, look, you saw Fandango hit his head on the guardrail. He'll be out of action for a long, long time. And then he would have went away. And no more Fandango. But they couldn't think of an actual reason or at least even half a reason to take him off television. Now they're keeping him. Good grief. The World Heavyweight title match, Jack Swagger versus Alberto Del Rio, it was something to see. I give it that. It wasn't a five-star match, but hey, you got to give it some credit. Justin Roberts had to give a shout out to the New Jersey National Guard who was in the crowd. CM Punk versus The Undertaker. This was something because the band In Living Color was there to perform live their song for CM Punk, Cult of Personality. And, you know, CM Punk, he gave them props for sending him to the ring. But things got serious when The Undertaker came out. And, man, Taker even fought out of a GTS, a go-to-sleep. And The Undertaker had said at the top of the pay-per-view that he truly, truly is going to dedicate this match to the memory of Paul Bearer. And he did, winning 21-0. Could he go to 30-0? They could if they give him a legend contract, like much like they did with The Rock and Steve Austin. You never know. He could just, you know, come in at every WrestleMania and just go for another, make it to 30. And then he can retire. That's what I would do. I would take that if I was The Undertaker. Wouldn't you take a deal like that, Matt? Come on now. If they handed you a contract that said you'd only have to appear at WrestleMania, that's one pay-per-view a year? Hell yeah. Show me the papers. I'll sign on the dotted line. I'll give you my John Hancock. God damn. And finally, we had to come to it. No holds barred match, Triple H versus Brock Lesnar. They did a great, great build to it. A great build. 2 weeks ago on Raw, it was crazy. Brock Lesnar and Triple H, they ran rabid on each other. And they both got bloody. But Brock Lesnar got more bloody on old school Raw that night than Triple H did. But it was still bloody. But when it came to the actual event, WrestleMania, Sunday night, 2013, they went back to mediocre wrestling. They did use a few weapons, but they didn't really use them as much as they did in the 90s. If this is supposed to be a no-holds-barred match, you should have actually let it be a real, legitimate no-holds-barred match. Triple H won, and nothing interesting came of the build-up. And last but not least, John Cena is the new WWE champion. And we welcome the Couch Potato, who is now in the chat room. Yes, Coffee, I have to. This is one of the times where I really, really have to agree with you. It was a nightmare. They didn't deliver on what they said they were going to deliver. And most stupid of all, with all the teams that John Cena did in media and on YouTube, you know, you saw him joke about that on Monday Night Raw. Hey, I was gonna be heel. WrestleMania is the perfect time for somebody like John Cena to turn heel. And they didn't let him do it. That just defeats the whole purpose of having WrestleMania then. WrestleMania is supposed to be the showcase of your immortals, Mr. Vince McMahon. You got that right, Coffee. That's why I tell you guys. Vince McMahon hates people like me who tell you to watch the pay-per-view for free on the internet. Coffee did. I did. Yes, I do, Matt. Yes, I do. They even, I mean, could you tell that the people that I talked about last week, and I know Couch Potato wasn't here last week, but I'm sure you heard the archive show where I said that they want the Big Show, they want Randy Orton, they want John Cena, and last but not least, I don't know how they were going to do this, but they didn't, thank God, that they somehow wanted, last but not least, Kofi Kingston to turn heel. How would you turn him heel? He's a real, real fan favorite. And Vince, I thought you wanted to market to kids. There's your kid marketer right there, Kofi Kingston. And they didn't do that either. It's a good thing they didn't turn Kofi heel because it wouldn't have made sense. It would have, you probably would have lopsided the damn thing. Like, you lopsided the product anyways. Yes, Randy Orton should have been a bad guy. He should have turned heel. John Cena should have turned heel. See, all these things that they had remotely done and put into action was a downright atrocity, is the perfect word to use. You want to talk about the ups and downs in sports? This is the ups and downs of WWE doing shit half-assed work on WrestleMania, which is supposed to be the greatest pay-per-view ever. Don't they always say that? They always say that. But it's never true. I mean, we had P. Diddy doing like a little, you know, kind of like a little halftime show there at Vince's way of copying the Super Bowl. But he did a lot of his really, really, really old songs. That's what you get for putting P. Diddy on the show. Like I said 3 weeks ago, where's all the good bands? You could have got somebody else to do that shit. Or, since you already had Living Color there, why didn't you have them do another song? The last three WrestleManias have sucked just as much as the last three Super Bowls. And I'm talking about, you know, the non-wrestling portion of it. Like I said, they want to copy the NFL and have their own little halftime show with these bands. The bands at the last three WrestleManias have not been memorable. That's why if you come to my house right now, oh wait, all of you would have to get on a damn plane to do that. But if you were to come to my house, you won't find the last three WrestleManias anywhere in my house, in my apartment. Why? Because I've saw the last three WrestleManias, and I don't want nothing to do with that, including the music portion of it. The music portion of it sucks. I mean, P. Diddy? It just didn't live up to anybody's expectations. Not only that, I mean, hey, let me share this with you. And it was crazy how, you know, this got reported. And this was on Wednesday. I put the show together every Wednesday. I usually do it Tuesday or Wednesday to put the show together for Friday, to be right here with you all on Blog Talk Radio. But on Wednesday night when I got home, I was shocked that this actually made Yahoo News. That they said that on Sunday night at WrestleMania 29. Hold on. I gotta. What the hell is this? Okay, I don't know what that was. What the? Oh, I know.
Yo.
This is. What is this? Stupid crap.
There, man.
Anyways, forget the background noise. Yahoo had reported that Triple H had suffered a massive, massive burn on his arm. I was like, wow, it actually made Yahoo News.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, guys. I know. See, I was like, wow. Triple H having this massive burn on his chest from having his match with Brock Lesnar actually made Yahoo News. And I told you all that this is only the second time in a two-month period. Remember the other one from the February show? I forget which February show it was, but just go back and listen to that and find it. I'm sure you'll find it there on the archives of my show. That, you know, I said that somebody else had made headlines with Yahoo. And Yahoo's not really big on wrestling, but they're starting to get into it. They're starting to see just how retarded this is becoming. I mean, honestly, good grief. Because now it gets even more interesting. And more interesting. Because now we can actually switch over and go right into Monday Night Raw. I mean, you see, and I've been talking with everybody on social media. I've been talking with other Blog Talk Radio hosts here on Blog Talk Radio. I haven't had a chance to talk to Couch Potato, who's in our chat room, by the way. Chat room filling up. Lots of people are coming in, and people that are not in the chat room are listening still. It's awesome. Very awesome. Couch, are you trying to tell us that you're a fan of Fandango? Yeah, I think he is. I think he had, yeah. You're a big fan of, what's his name, Brodus Clay, too. Come on, Couch, don't hide it. You know you're a fan of guys like these, with these gimmick characters. That's what they're called because, well, it's not their real name. Or at least it's not the normal wrestling name you would use. I mean, like, in WWE 2009, SmackDown vs. Raw, when I first bought that game, I know Matt Broderick remembers when I told him this, because me and Matt were on the phone one night a few years ago, and he's like, ah, I love the music, I love the music. Remember that conversation, Matt, that we had on the phone? I had Matt Broderick on speaker all the way from Chicago on my cell phone. And I said, the dagger? He goes, what? What? I'm not a dagger. I said, no. Matt, there's a name in here where you can pick your name when you're creating a wrestler. There's a name in there that's actually called the dagger. I mean, the 2009 video game had some of the worst names you could pick. And I'm going, this is WWE's flaw for you to create your own character? This is ridiculous. Yeah, see? Couch Potato's a big fan of the Funkasaurus. Are you a fan of... Now I have to ask. I have to ask you, Couch Potato. Are you a fan of Tensai also? I mean, after all, he's his tag team partner. I mean, gimmick characters. And Tensai is not his real name. He's not even from Japan. They need to drop this. He's a damn white boy. Okay? And everybody says, well, you know, I was talking to my friend's son, who's 14 years old. Like, he is from Japan. I said, how do you know that? He said, well, I know how he is. And his sister jumped in and goes, he got Japan tattoos all over him. And I had to tell these poor kids, yes, they are Japan tattooed, but he's not from Japan. He's from right here in the United States. He doesn't even speak Japan language. Trust me. Yeah. They should give him back the old name that was originally good anyways, A-Train. No, Couch. I mean, not Couch, Coffee. Coffee. I don't like those kind of weird wrestler names. Hell no, not me. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he wrestled in Japan, but he's not from Japan. He has wrestled there. Thank you, Couch, for clearing that up. But now I'm going to ask everybody the all-important question, including the couch potato. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to ask you all, did Monday Night Raw feel like WrestleMania more than WrestleMania itself did the night before? Because 24 hours later, nobody, and I mean nobody, was prepared for what took place 24 hours after WrestleMania, the following night. I mean, the fans in East New Jersey were more crazier than the fans on the other side of New Jersey where WrestleMania was held. I mean, even when the pyro was going off and the show's beginning to start, these fans are just chanting. If you're listening from New Jersey right now, let me just tell you, and for you fans in East New Jersey, you guys were off the chart on Monday night. Got to give major props to all you fans in New Jersey. Thank you very, very much. You made Raw this past week feel more like WrestleMania than WrestleMania itself did. Now, I know if you send WWE to Coffeestown, he's going to go ahead and get a lot of his buddies to do the exact same thing that the fans in East New Jersey did. And I know deep down that Vince McMahon was very, very pissed off, and he didn't want that to take place. But what are you going to do, Vince? What are you going to do? Kick everybody out of the arena? You know how much refunded money you'd have to do if you did that? Because I tell you, the whole time that the introduction is going on, and as Michael Cole welcomes us to Raw, and Jerry Lawler and then JBL said a few words. If you watch it again, right behind JBL, security is walking up to these people in the second and third and fourth row and going, shh, shh. Why? Because Vince sent them out there. This is not the role of security guards. Security guards are just there to do a job for the actual arena. Not for the owner of the company, Vince. I mean, that would be like me. Like, if somebody had asked me, well, would you like to do security for this event? We'll pay you this much money. Sure, I'll do security. And if the owner of the company comes up and tells me, I know you're only an usher or security guard, whatever you want to call it, but can you go tell those people to shut up? I'm going to be like, no, fuck no. What are you, crazy? This is the United States of America. And it's a damn shame that you want to have me walk over and cause a riot with people who really believe in our First Amendment rights as Americans? Freedom of speech? What are you, insane? Yes. Thank you for the standby report from my good friends. Especially the coffee, who was nice enough to give me the Giants report. The Giants are now leading 3-2. Yeah. With the runner on second. Yeah, whoever that runner is, he's probably going to steal third. Coffee also said that Jersey is a lot like Detroit, but it's the whole state, not just the damn city. Yeah, I know that. But back to the subject at hand, I mean, you want to talk about the ups and downs of sports. This was a complete thumbs down to Vince McMahon. That you send damn security while Michael Cole and JBL are opening the show on Monday night to tell everybody, oh, you can't chant that. Shh, quiet. So that's what set off everybody else. And then the entire arena just starts chanting. I don't even remember what they were chanting. But that went on all night long. It was beautiful. And then after that, security just gave up. because everybody in that arena realized what was happening. They said, oh, they want to shut us up? Well, let's join these other fans. And they did. I mean, and Couch Potato said in the chat room, hell, right before Raw ended, they were even chanting the Fandango's theme song. And then they start chanting for Randy Orton. They were even chanting for Chris Candido, a wrestler who died in 2005. Now that's mutual respect between wrestling fans. That's why I give them, if you're in New Jersey, thank you for the Chris Candido chant too. Now that was awesome. I mean, you guys were nuts. That just showed you, Vince. You almost created a riot in New Jersey on Raw. Anyway, let's get into this, and then maybe we'll have time to go back to it. Daniel Bryan versus Big E Langston. Big E, I have to say, he made an impressive debut on Raw. It was awesome. It was good. And he looked like a natural heel guy anyways, a natural bad guy. But the offensive maneuver that he gave Daniel Bryan, because, I mean, remember Daniel Bryan went up to on the top rope and did his thing. He did his own aerial assault. But when Big E Langston jumped off the rope, I have to say, sorry, Daniel Bryan, but he looked more impressive than you did coming off the top rope. For a guy as big as Big E Langston is, he did a hell of a job, and he won his debut match. You can thank the writers for that. The writers are the ones that really felt that Big E Langston should win. They said, well, because we're pushing him so much, we're pushing him, we're feeding him into the fans, and the fans are buying it. Well, what about everybody else? You can push people and let them build up and then let them win their matches too. But they're not doing that. They're screwing around with everybody else. Josh Matthews was in the crowd with Kurt Warner. They talked about his new reality show on USA Network, The Moment, which ironically started last night. The Intercontinental title match, Wade Barrett versus The Miz. Wow, this really got things heated. And Wade Barrett defeats The Miz. Jack Swagger and Depp Coulter, they took on Alberto Del Rio. It's a 2-on-1 handicap match situation. And Alberto, you know, you could tell that he really, really injured his knee. Or maybe it's just a pretend injury, much like they said on Sunday night at the pay-per-view about The Rock. Oh, The Rock's been injured. Really trying to sell us on this whole vendetta thing. Oh, coffee, cut it out. Oh. Coffee making fun of all the Japanese baseball players. The World Heavyweight Championship. And you're probably saying, how did this get turned into a championship? The reason how it's gotten turned into a championship match was because they kept saying for the longest time, you heard Michael Cole keep saying it over and over, that at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, Dolph Ziggler gets his chance to cash in his Money in the Bank. But remember, the rule had always been that you had to cash in your Money in the Bank briefcase at WrestleMania. But because they got so many complaints from fans and things of that nature, because Dolph Ziggler had been holding on to this briefcase for a long, long time, the writers just finally gave up, and they told Vince, the hell with it. We're just going to write in the storyline that he's going to cash in his Money in the Bank against Del Rio tonight. And he did. He did. And he's the new World Heavyweight Champion. I think this kind of ushers in a new weight for there to be champions and for champions to shine now with a guy like Dolph Ziggler. Everybody's been waiting for that for the longest time, and it has now happened. And even though they didn't mention it on Raw, between Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler, or JBL, so I will say it for them, what they did not say, and that is, I guess you can say the Ziggler era has begun. This was actually supposed to be Drew McIntyre's time to shine, but we all know about what happened with Drew McIntyre. Yeah, he was up there, and then he went all the way back down to mid-card status. Ironically enough, it's our next match. He's a part of the three-man band, 3MB versus Santino Marella, R-Truth. 3MB, of course, teamed up. Well, R-Truth and Santino teamed up with Zack Ryder. Man. You know, Sheamus versus The Big Show, Randy Orton versus Sheamus. Those two, it had to be one or the other, thanks to Vicky Guerrero and Booker T. I see, that's why I say they just need to go back to letting the fans decide which side is better. Because even though Booker T's been saying on SmackDown that SmackDown always is and always has been the superior brand over Raw, yet he's on Raw helping Vicky Guerrero make matches. And if she's going to be playing the role of managing supervisor, which is really retarded if you ask me, why not just create a brand new Raw general manager? Booker T's already the SmackDown general manager. But see, this is kind of stupid on the, actually, it's very stupid that they would say that, well, Booker T's on SmackDown saying how much better SmackDown is over Raw, yet they're, and they don't even make the SmackDown versus Raw video games anymore, because they're slowly trying to get out of that, well, this brand is separate from that brand. No, I think you're going to have to go back to that brand split. I mean, you might as well, I don't know what the hell they're doing. And Matthew Broderick says, excuse me. No, Matt, excuse me. Oh, boy. Ric Flair for GM. Well, maybe, Matt, but Remember, guys, don't count on Ric Flair for anything right now. Still, he's still on to the death of his son at this time, so, yeah, it's terrible right now. What? Coffee said they are switching production companies. Oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you, Coffee. WWE video games are now going to be made by Take-Two Interactive. Because their deal with THQ, I told you all a few months ago that THQ, their lawsuit settlement that they had with another video game company almost broke free of that, but it did not. So this is why THQ will no longer be making games, because they have to sell all their rights of the video games they were making, or at least trying to be profitable to another video game maker. So, you know, yeah, I know, right? EA should have picked up the license. Sega Entertainment, they really haven't impressed me over the years. Well, besides their Major League Baseball Smash Mouth video game that they made, I have that game. Other than that, that's a good game by Sega that they made, that wild video game. But other than that, Sega Entertainment, in my estimation of making video games, I don't know who's in charge over there. And I know that this is a sports show, but we can go ahead and touch on video games for a minute, like I said we were going to. But I don't know who's in charge over there. But Sega, whoever's in charge of your Sega Entertainment Company, you need to stop making video games that progress RPG style because and RPG graphics. They still make video games like we're in 1991. What is this, 1995? Come on, get with the times. Get with the times. Make better graphics. Make better sound quality. And definitely make better video games. Like I said, other than that baseball game that Sega made a few years ago, I have that game. But other than that, Sega does not impress me. And yes, WWE's video game license has been sold to them. Maybe in the future. Maybe they'll go out of business too. Who knows? And then coffee. And then maybe EA can pick them up. But yeah, THQ, no longer in business, selling all their rights and privileges to other video game developers to sell and buy and make money off the other games that they have to be forced to get rid of too. You know. Anyways, let's get back into this. Fandango versus Kofi Kingston. This match didn't really get started. It got started, but it didn't really last long because of Y2J. Y2J just came right through the crowd and just, man, he just wailed on Fandango. I mean, sure, Fandango got the disqualification win, but Chris Jericho didn't care about that. He just put the walls of Jericho on him and it just, man. The Bella Twins, Cody Rhodes, and Damian Sandow versus Brodus Clay, Tensai, Cameron, and Naomi. Now you're probably saying, what? 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 You want to talk about what the Divas, the so-called Divas, did at WrestleMania 29? What? Nothing. What? I'll say it again. They did nothing. This is why the match had to take place again. And it didn't really take place at WrestleMania. Because they're not, it seems to me like they don't really care about their women wrestlers anymore. Let the guys handle this. Let the guys do it. Look, when Lita and Trish started doing this crap anyways, Lita and Trish were the first two women ever in wrestling to start having women's hardcore matches. So don't tell me that Cameron and Naomi and the Bella Twins can't have some type of agreement with their matches and their match style as well. Well, this is where it gets corny. This is where people don't believe it's true, but it is. That Vince McMahon is a narcissist, you know, hypothetical person when it comes to women. And you wonder why his daughter, Stephanie McMahon, no longer helps him with productions, why she's at home with her children. You wonder why his wife doesn't really spend as much time at home. Well, she does now because she remember last year she was trying to become the senator of Connecticut. Because he said that women wrestlers are malevolent in his eyes. Well, I hate to say this, but if that's the case, why don't you just fire all the Divas and just have a man's only wrestling company? I'm serious. Yeah, we did see a little cat fight intuition on Raw, but that didn't last long. And I mean it, that didn't last long. Mark Henry versus John Cena was, I mean, again, you fans in New Jersey, you just, you really surprised everybody. And, you know, the thing that ends Raw, this is how we're going to end talking about Raw before we go to our final commercial break. And we're going to come in and when we come back from commercial break, we're going to run down Impact Wrestling and how pay-per-view quality. You talk about pay-per-view quality. That was it last night on Impact Wrestling. And also, of course, we still got that audio clip of this one wrestler who has his own podcast show now. But the funny thing about Raw is how many times did they try to break the table? The announcer's table, that is. How many chairs did it take the Big Show to try and throw into the ring? And because of all that shit that took place, like I said, once again, you fans in New Jersey, you didn't tear the house down. The crew didn't tear the house down. Not even the boys and the girls, you know, the wrestlers. The boys didn't even, the talent didn't even tear the house down. You fans in New Jersey did. Because by the time that Big Show threw the second chair, first he threw Michael Cole's chair, he tried to throw it into the ring because he wanted to use it as a weapon against Sheamus. But that didn't work. That chair didn't even go into the ring. So Jerry Lawler's chair didn't go into the ring. When Jerry Lawler got the chair back, he sat down and went, whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, man, my chair's broken. Oh. Then he tried throwing Michael Cole's chair into the ring. And the moment that Michael Cole's chair hit the ground, you could tell that WWE was really, really trying to stop everything from happening within the audience. Within the audience. This is coming from the fans. The fans start chanting, you fucked up, you fucked up. I mean, they were saying it faster than I was. And WWE is trying to put the bleep on your TV set, that way you can't hear what they're saying, but the guys in the TV truck, they just couldn't push the buttons fast enough. Which means the cussing, the legitimacy of Monday Night Raw got heard by millions of people, and yes, even the kids heard those words. That was beautiful. Beautiful. Very, very awesome. Yeah, and them singing the Fandango song. Oh, man. I couldn't believe it. Now that is how we end our Raw topic. Okay.
Hey, fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Hi, sports fans. As you all know, there's lots of stuff happening here on NDB Media, and here on our sports channel, Sports Talk with the Guys, we've just debuted a brand new program, The Five Tool Show. Carell Cooper and Tanya Mercado keep it real from the East Coast, and that's on every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Of course, Matt Alvarez and the Sports Opinion Show is on every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Sports Talk with the Guys Saturday Morning Extravaganza is on at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, part of the 5-hour block of sports on Blog Talk Radio. Tune into that for additional details. And don't forget to catch the Big Dog every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Head on over to ndbmedia.com, join the community, join the conversation. See you on the other side.
Mike, what is your deal, man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby!
Whoa.
Eat a snack. Better?
Better.
Mike!
That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
Hi, sports fans. As you all know, there's lots of stuff happening here on NDB Media. And here on our sports channel, Sports Talk with the Guys, we've just debuted a brand new program, The 5-Tool Show. Carell Cooper and Tanya Mercado keep it real from the East Coast, and that's on every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Of course, Matt Alvarez and the Sports Opinion Show is on every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Sports Talk with the Guys Saturday Morning Extravaganza is on at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, part of the 5-hour block of sports on Blog Talk Radio. Tune into that for additional details. And don't forget to catch the Big Dog every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Head on over to ndbmedia.com, join the community, join the conversation. See you on the other side.
Here on the Sports Opinion Show. Every time we go to commercial break, coffee's always got something interesting or inaugurating or annoying to say in the chat room. He said during the commercial break he'd love to take Betty White home. You do that, Coffee. She's 91 years old. Yes, we know. And what's that, Coffee? What? You mean to tell me you didn't see the brawl that I talked about the last hour? That baseball brawl, yeah, those guys are all idiots. Right before you came into the chat room, though, I told everybody that, hey, just remember, ladies and gentlemen, everybody from both teams, including the coaches and officials, will be suspended indefinitely. The Major League Baseball Association doesn't know when, but they're going to do it. They're going to suspend all these guys. Could cost them the playoffs and the championships. Yeah, the whole nine yards. Oh, wait. By the way, I almost forgot. I can't believe I almost forgot to mention it. Since Coffee brought up the subject of baseball, well, I mostly did because I'm the one talking. I almost forgot to mention that. baseball, you know, I'm sure you all heard about it, that the mayor of my hometown where I was born, San Jose, California, which is 30 minutes from me, that he actually wanted a meeting with Major League Baseball's Bud Selig because he feels that he has the right to bring the Oakland A's to San Jose. Just because you're the mayor of a city, you think you can overturn everything? Besides, my San Francisco Giants, they already have rights. They've already been to court for this. They've already talked to Major League Baseball about this. And Bud Selig is in charge of Major League Baseball. So the mayor of my hometown in San Jose, California, is trying to overturn what they already did in baseball court by trying to have a meeting with Bud Selig? You idiot. Bud Selig turned him down and said, "I'm sorry, I really don't have time to meet with you. Goodbye." And he hung up on the mayor of San Jose, California. This was on Monday. He hung up on him. Said, "I'm sorry, I heard what you said about me on the news. That you want this meeting with me too? No, you're not getting the meeting." Click. You just hear the long dial tone. Coffee, don't even go there. Stop. Right there. I just told you. I'm going to do this, and I know Matt Broderick's going to laugh. I'm sure everybody in his house that's listening is going to laugh, too. We all remember that movie Rush Hour, right? In the words of Jackie Chan, "Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth, Coffee?" What did I just say? They already went to baseball court last year. The A's will no longer be allowed to go to San Jose because the Giants have property. They own the rights in San Jose. So, yeah, anyways. No, Coffee, I can tell you right now. Antitrust laws won't even make it into this case. Forget about that. I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, very quickly, hey, you know, TNA last night, they had their highest rated show more than WWE's. I'm serious. Last night was their highest rated show ever. Because, hey, they had a Full Metal Mayhem match last night. It was their main event that featured Bully Ray and Jeff Hardy for the TNA World Heavyweight title. Also, Taryn Terrell had her first debut match against Gail Kim. I mean, if anything, this breeds on everything that TNA is looking to do because they're trying to up the ante, so to speak. Now we're talking about the ups and downs of sports. We talked about all the major thumbs down and major downs in general that WWE got. But I'm still not sure. I wasn't even sure when we went live today. And I still don't have a decision now. I thought, you know, taking that long, long commercial break, that would help me find some way to say, well, TNA, they sucked in this area, they sucked in that area last night. I mean, I only have one bad thing to say about TNA's productivity last night. But other than that, I still can't think of anything bad to say. Because they really, really put things together. As you heard, you know, all the announcers say, this was a pay-per-view quality show. And it was. I mean, we had the tag team title match. It was 2 out of 3 falls. Bobby Roode and Austin Aries versus Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez. And the storyline stipulation that the writers threw in, which what I thought was very, very interesting, that since Chavo and Hernandez have been together for 1 year exactly, that the writers came up with a better concept. Make this 2 out of 3 falls match, and if Guerrero and Hernandez lose, as many falls as it takes, and if they lose the tag team titles, the storyline stipulation that the writers gave them was they can never team again. Beautiful, beautiful. But it was, and beautiful finish there, too, at the end. Now, that's how you execute a match. Gail Kim did wrestle Taryn Terrell. And, you know, my boy from Southern California, congrats to you, boy. I love you, Joey Ryan. I mean, it's awesome that he's with TNA now. I mean, man. I liked his comment. He said, who is bigger than me? There's nobody bigger than me. And then Brooke Hogan, of course, you saw what she said as she walked away from the camera. She said, don't put your hands on me ever again. Don't touch me. And out comes ODB. I was like, she is in some ways bigger than him. She's definitely bigger than her storyline husband, Eric Young. I don't know when they're going to go back to those two, but we'll just have to wait and see. Taryn Terrell, anyways, won her match. Gail Kim had a problem with ODB's officiating style and a very, very interesting t-shirt that the referee, ODB, was wearing last night. Joey Ryan ended up being put in a match with Rob Terry. That was Brooke Hogan's idea because she said that because of your position that you put me in, I'm going to put you in a particular situation that you won't like at all. And that was to wrestle Joey Ryan. And Joey Ryan had to wrestle Rob Terry, and Rob Terry whipped his ass. A TNA World Heavyweight Title Full Metal Mayhem match. Jeff Hardy versus Bully Ray. Hogan did try and get his daughter, Brooke, to sit in the skybox with him. That way he could know that she could be safe and she would be free from all harm from anybody within aces and eights. That's right, Matt. To be the man, you've got to beat the man, Matt. That's right. But the only problem I had with their productivity last night, and it took them a long, long time to do this, and I'm referring to what the writers are doing with the 8th and 8th storyline. The fact that it took them this long to get these guys to legitimately look like a gang. Because me and my good friend from the group, the main guy, Craig. What's up, Craig? I know you're listening live. I know you're not in the chat, but you're listening. And I know that some other people have said that, you know, I mean, to the guys that own this channel right here on BTR, on Block Talk Radio, listen to them tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. People that have called into their show and said that, well, I'm hearing you from inside my car. I don't know how they're doing that, but somehow people are actually able to listen to some shows. Some people I know that said that, well, we can't be in the chat room, Matt, but we're going to be listening to you in our car. I don't know how these people are listening to us from inside their car, but they are, and I thank you all for that, for those of you that are in your car. But it took them this long to do this with the Aces and Eights storyline, to make them legitimately look like a gang. And when I saw what they did, automatically it brought WCW memories back. Because Mike Tenay's all, what the hell is this? I was like, huh? What? What's he mad about? What is Mike Tenay so pissed about? I turn around and I see 13, 14, 15 damn motorcycles in the backstage area with every member from Ace of the Nates now riding on a motorcycle with their, you know, their uniform, the stuff that they're wearing, the clothes that they're wearing, the Ace of the Nates on them to make them look like a gang. I said, well, you finally got the motorcycles. You're very, very late, though, in the game to do that. Now, probably from now on, you'll probably see them start bringing these motorcycles probably to the ring, more than likely. But, yeah, hey, that's how it goes. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, that was a very, very compelling edition of Impact Wrestling last night. Very well done. Pay-per-view quality show last night. Other than the Ace of the Nates motorcycle deal, I had no problem with them last night. Now that's how you do a show. Vince McMahon, take notes on that. But ladies and gentlemen, check this out. This, you thought, people always say that I'm funny. I don't know how people think I'm funny, but if I am, thank you for thinking I'm a comedian. People are like, well, you know, you've got, you know, issues with your body that you shouldn't even work anymore. You shouldn't be a stand-up comedian. Maybe I should. But maybe you'll have a different opinion after you hear from this guy. This great, great wrestler who now has his own podcast show that, well, debuted last week. Here's just a quick 4-minute sample of who this guy is and what his shows will contradict on. But the first part of this show has to do with a very serious contingency that our country is facing at its highest level of security. Check this out.
Here it goes. Hi, Steve. I want to get your take on how you feel about people whacked out of their minds going on killing sprees. It seems to be happening closer and closer to home. They just had it happen in a little town about an hour away from me where this man just went through a drive-in and his Jeep stopped and shot 4 people, and then in the end, the cops end up killing him. Do you think tougher gun laws will stop this? What is your take on it? Well, this whole gun control thing, I'm not going to get real political here on the Steve Austin show, but we'll talk about gun control because I do believe I grew up hunting and fishing my entire life. I believe in the Second Amendment. I do believe, though, there has been an epidemic of just stupid motherfuckers just shooting people for the damn hell of it. And I don't understand it because it doesn't seem like it happened 10, 15 years ago. All of a sudden, whether it's a pistol or it's a rifle, people are just starting to shoot people. And so, God damn it, we're going to cover gun control in another few shows. But right now, off the top of my head, with a knee-jerk reaction, it ain't the guns that are doing it. It's the idiots that have these guns. And there's never any punishment for these individuals. Now, half of them shoot themselves because they're cowards and they take the quick way out. But, you know, take the cat that shot up the Aurora, Colorado theater. And, you know, he says he's insane. And, you know, he's got a right to his trial. Bullshit. He doesn't get a right to a trial in my book. He's red-handed guilty. They know that he did it. It doesn't matter whether he's insane or not. Look what he did. He lost his right as a human being, so you've got to make the system tougher. Light the son of a bitch up. Put him on death row. Put him away. There's a lot of people out there who say, well, I don't believe in the death penalty. Well, that's fine. You sit there and don't believe in the death penalty. But when you got scum like this that do things like this, you've got to have a lot more bite to the justice system. So whether it's electric chair or life imprisonment, we got to get tough. And that's what I think about our country in general. I think America needs to wake up and harden the fuck up. It's just time to stop laying down and watching all this stupid shit happen. There's no reason to allow this kind of stuff to continue to happen without swift and severe punishment. Are you entitled to a fair trial? Yes, you are. Don't let me scare you away. I mean, Jesus Christ, when you got people rolling around shooting people, it gets under my skin and it gives responsible gun owners a bad name. I happen to be one of them. You know, speaking of responsible gun owners, you know, this reminds me of a close friend of mine. He calls the house the other day, and this guy has been shooting his entire life. He's big into the, you know, the shotgun thing with the skeets, clays, all that bullshit. Hang on, let me take a drink. So anyway, this guy's been using guns his whole entire life. He grew up as an avid hunter. So he gives me a call, and he goes, oh, man, you're not going to believe what happened. And I said, what? Yeah, I got broke into. And I said, well, what'd they get? Well, they got two laptops and my shotguns. I said, well, dude, what do you mean you got your shotguns? Why don't you have them in a goddamn safe? He goes, well, I'll have a safe. I said, dude, are you kidding me? You're 45 years old. You've been shooting your entire life, and you ain't got a safe? That's inexcusable. You got to have a damn gun safe. You can buy a gun safe for as cheap as $200 that you bolt to your closet wall. You don't have to be rich to afford a damn safe. You can spend $10,000, $20,000 on a safe if you want to, with fire protection and all the horse shit. There is no reason any responsible human being, man or woman, should not have a safe, a lockbox, anything to put your goddamn guns in. I don't give a shit if it's a pistol, rifle, lock them up. You keep your guns out of the hands of thieves. You keep your guns away from children who don't know what they're doing with them. You keep your guns locked up because that's what you do when you're not using them. It's a little bit of common sense. And this guy's a close friend of mine, so I couldn't believe this story when he told it to me. I don't mean to just start foaming at the mouth over here at my microphone, but, I mean, it's common sense with the gun, folks. Guns ain't the enemy. It's stupid people with these guns. And, you know, again, I'll delve into the gun control issue a little bit further down the road, but, man, Jesus Christ, I mean, smarten up, folks.
Oh, that was great. Everybody kept asking me. They kept asking me, who is it? Who is it? Well, now you know. Steve Austin has his own podcast show. And I'm going to put that before, you know, as the intro song takes us out of here and into next week. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you all very much. Matt Broderick, Coffee, Guest 462, DDP, Craig, everybody at Matt Broderick's house, thank you all. Thank you, everybody, everywhere, wherever you may be. Especially if you're part of the New Jersey fans that were at Raw this week. Thank you all, everyone, for being here. It was an awesome, awesome show. I had fun doing it. But I'm going to leave you with the link in the chat room. If you're in the chat room, save this link or something, because the Steve Austin Show, they just did another podcast last week. So, hey, you never know. Something could happen now that he's on, you know, doing shows now, too. Matt Alvarez meets Steve Austin. That could happen. You never know. Ladies and gentlemen, take care. Again, thank you all very much. This was awesome. Please come back again next week. Because every week, you never know what's going to happen. I don't even know. I think the host of his own show knows what the hell's going on. I thought AJ was going to call in today to finish his rant from last week. But I guess he decided to surprise us with his presence. Who knows what's going to happen next week? Take care, and we'll see you all next week. Peace.
Heading to the top rope, and he's in it! Frog flash! Come on! Get it! Do it! Two! Yeah! And
he looked at, he thought he'd get John Hancock on a great new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive, that's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it, because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I ask you the standard question, you know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake? Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb. for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.